The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Re'eh. Re'eh Anechi Nesen Lifnechem Hayem Brocha Uklolo. Es habrocha shetishmu al mitzvos Hashem lekechem asher anechi mitzaveschem hayom. Behold, I am placing before you today brocha uklolo, brocha, blessings and curses. The brocha is if you will listen to the mitzvos which Hashem has commanded you today. Vahaklolo im leishishmu al mitzvos Hashem lekechem v'sartim in aderech asher anechi mitzaveschem hayom laleches acharei elohim acherim asher lo yedatem. And the klolo, the curses, is if you will not listen to the mitzvos of Hashem and you will turn away from the derech, from the way which he has commanded you today, to go after other gods which you do not know. In this week's parsha, a good part of it is devoted to many mitzvahs which are relevant to Avedah Zorah, the serving of alien gods. For example, the Torah tells us that we're obligated to destroy all idolatry and anything that has to do with idolatry from our land. Torah commands us that in no way must we change the Torah, because if we change the Torah, that's also like worshipping alien gods, because this is no longer the Torah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us. And therefore we are commanded in this week's Parsha not to be meisif ala mitzvahs and not to be megareya, not to add to the mitzvahs or not to take away from them. Another mitzvah is that we are commanded not to listen to someone who comes with a prophecy in the name of a foreign god. A man stands up and he says that a god came to me in a dream or in a vision and he has commanded us to do such and such a thing. If it's in the prophecy of the name of a foreign god, or if he prophesies against the prophecy of Teres Meisha, the Torah of Meisha Rabbeinu, we are commanded not to listen to it. Also in this week's parsha are the mitzvahs of the meisis. That means that if one person will go and entice others to go serve idolatry, other gods, the Torah in detail tells us how to deal with it, and actually this encompasses seven mitzvahs. Also, ir anidachas, that if the majority of a city goes and serves alien gods, idolatry, then this city is known as an ir anidachas. And there are three mitzvahs in the parsha pertaining to that. So this week's parsha deals quite a bit with the laws and the mitzvahs of Avedah Zorah, idolatry. This is a very, very important subject and very, very important topic for the Jew. And there are many principles that it is imperative that we understand relating to this. Let's go into some of these principles this evening. Firstly, in the entire Torah, there are many, many mitzvahs which relate to Avedah Zorah idolatry. Not only in this parsha. In the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, the first command was, Anechi Hashem Elokecho, that you shall make me for your God, I am the Lord your God, and then immediately, Lesas Elokecho Elohim Acherim, that you shall have no other gods before me. And the severity of this Avera is known in the Torah, as we see from many, many sources. One right here on the pasuk that we quoted, that v'sartem min aderech, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if you will not listen to me, but you will go after gods which you do not know, then you will turn away from which I have commanded you. So Rashi quotes, Holamarita, from here we learn, Shokola Eved Avedis Alili Mare Osor Mikola Derech Shenitztavo Yisrael. Someone who serves other gods it's as if he is turning entirely away from the Torah. Kol hameida ba'aveda zara kekefer b'kol ha'teira kula. Someone who concedes or who admits to the powers of alien forces, then that person is as if he denies the entire Torah. And this is also, this is brought from the Sifri. The Rambam brings this in Perek Beis of Hilchos Aveiros Zorah Halacha Hei. Dalet and Hay. Mitzvahs Avedis Kechovim Kenegera Mitzvahs Kulan. That the prohibition of serving foreign gods equals the entire Torah. From here we learn that whoever concedes to the serving of other gods is as if he's denying the entire Torah. Not only the entire Torah, but Kol HaNavim, but all of the prophets. And all that the prophets have commanded us, may Odom ve'ad sefer elam, from the first man until the end of the world. As it states, from this day on, I have commanded you onward into all of your generations. And whoever denies false gods, so it's as if he admits and concedes to the entire Torah and all of the prophets and all of their prophecies from the first man until the end of the generations. So here we see that when we're dealing with the mitzvah of Aveda Zora, we're not dealing with a mitzvah protis, an individual mitzvah, but rather with a mitzvah that seems to encompass the entire Torah, that's equal to the entire Torah. And someone who admits to other gods, then it's as if he denies the entire Torah. And he who denies other gods and other forces, it's as if he has accepted the entire Torah. And this is not only philosophy, this has also relevance in halacha, in legal law, because the Gemara tells us in Masech Techulin, and the Rambam brings it here, Yisrael shovar avedis kechovim areu ke'evit kechovim lechol dvorov. A Jew that serves other gods, even though he may keep all other mitzvahs, he has the law of a we give him the law of a goy, of a non-Jew. He's not like a Yisrael that transgresses Avedis, but he's Yotze Bechlal Yisrael. He has a different halacha. The Gemara calls him a Mumel Avedis Ora. And a Mumel Avedis Ora is a Mumel Echalatei Rechula. But someone who worships other gods, so he has a halacha as if he is not within the folds of the Jewish nation. And where he denies all mitzvahs, even though he might keep all mitzvahs. This is the halach. Also, we find that Rashi brings, a little later in our Sedra, in Posuk Yud Gimel, halacha Yud, in Yud Gimel Posuk Yud Ches, Leyidbak biyotcha ma'uma min acherim, that when you come into, when you destroy a city that has this idolatry in it, so you, nothing of it shall cleave to your hands, you shall not take anything for yourself. Leman yoshuv Hashem mecharein apay, in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall return from his wrath and give to you rachamim, give to you compassion, and he should show compassion to you like he has sworn to his fathers. So Rashi brings, she calls man she'aved zore be'elom, charein af be'elom. As long as there is idolatry in the world, then there's the anger of Hashem in the world. So we see very clearly from here how the Torah treats the subject. It's not a subject that's an individual mitzvah. It's not a subject that you can take or leave. But rather the entire balance of the Torah rests on it. If you accept idolatry, then you reject the Torah. If you reject idolatry, then you accept the Torah. Or the fact that there's idolatry in the world, this doesn't make much difference. Not true. She calls man shavei dezorah ba'elam charein after elam. As long as there's idolatry in the world, the anger of Hashem is in the world. Another principle, very important to know, is how far the Torah goes to be marchik us, to keep us far away from idolatry. This we see from many sources. Some write in our parsha, in Pasuk Yud Beis Beis, the Torah tells us, "Abei te abdun es kol ha-mekemes asher ovdu shom agoyim." When you come into Eretz Yisrael, you shall totally destroy all of the places that the nations have built for idolatry. Ale ha-orim or omim, whether they are on the great mountains, or on the hills, or beneath all of the trees. V'nitatzte v'zmizbecheisom, you shall break up their altars. Shibatem es matzeveisom, you shall break down their monuments. Asherehem tisrafun ba'esh, and you shall burn in fire all of their trees that they have planted for purposes of idolatry. And you shall destroy all of their idols. Vibaratem eshmom min amokam avu, and you shall totally destroy their names from this place. So we see the Torah is very thorough when it came to how to destroy idolatry. And the Rashi brings from the Gemaras, what does it mean? Abe ta'abdun? Mikan la'ekar avedezorah shetzorech l'shari shachareho. After you destroy it, you must destroy it again. You must go after its very source to totally, totally destroy it. What does it mean? That you shall destroy its name. So Rashi brings, it's a mitzvah by Avodah Zorah, lekanes lehem shem legnai. It's a mitzvah to give them a name which is scoffing, which scoffs at them. If there was a certain monument or a certain idol or a certain place of theirs which was named because of their Avodah Zorah, because of their idolatry, then it's a mitzvah to vibaratem eshmom, to destroy that name, make it into a name which is ridicule its name. Make litzonis of it. The Gemara says that we don't like to make litzonis, we don't like to scoff. But it says litzonus ad avedah zorah, to make litzonis of avedah zorah, this is a mitzvah. Because the Torah said, v'ibaratem eshmom, you shall destroy its name. This mitzvah here, that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you must totally destroy all of the idolatry. So this the Gemara in Kiddushin speaks of, and the Rambam brings it in Perek Zayin, Haloch Aleph. It states as follows. Mitzvah Zaseihi, it's a positive commandment. Incidentally, the Chinuch brings that this commandment is not only a command on men, but also on women. It's a positive commandment, la'abeid avedes kechovim u'misham shecho, to destroy idolatry and to everything that was made for the service of idolatry, v'chol anase bishvilo, and anything that was made for it. As it states, abeid ta'abdun es kol ha-makemes, that you shall destroy all of these places. U'be'eretz Yisrael mitzvah lirdei v'achareho, ad she'na'aved eisei mikol arsenu. Eretz Yisrael, it's a mitzvah to seek out all of the idolatry, in order that in our land there will be no idolatry whatsoever. Aval b'chutz l'oretz einon metzuvin lirdei v'acharel. And outside of Eretz Yisrael, we are not obligated to go all over the world to seek out idolatry and to destroy it. Ela kol mokom shenichvei sheisonu na'aved kol avedes kechovim sheboy. But land which is under our control, if we conquer a piece of land,
and we occupy it, then even outside of Eretz Yisrael, we are not permitted to allow or tolerate any idolatry. But if it's lands that we don't occupy, we don't own, then we're not obligated. But in Eretz Yisrael, we're obligated. The Rambam brings in Perek Yud, Halocha Aleph and Vov, in regards that the Torah said that when we come into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to find seven great nations there, mighty nations. And these nations will wage war with us. We must go to war against them, and we must drive them out of the land. And then the Torah admonished us, telling us that under no circumstances are we permitted to allow them to remain in the land, unless they decide to accept the seven mitzvahs that were given to the children of Noach. See, because the laws of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry, is also a law which was given to all people of the world. It was given to the first man, and it was given to Noach and his children. But otherwise, if they will not accept the seven mitzvahs, then we must drive them from the land. And under no condition are we allowed to leave them to remain. This is what the Torah tells us. So the Rambam brings, Ein korsin bris l'shiva amamin. We are not allowed to make any peace treaty with the seven nations. K'dei shenasi mo'en sholem. That there should be peace between they and us. And allow them to continue to serve their idolatry, as it states explicitly in the Torah. But also the rachem aleihem, shneim alei sichonim, and we're not allowed to show compassion towards them. Now, these halachas which we've been mentioning, so the Rambam brings in halacha vov, ein kol advarim eila amurim ela bizman shegolu Yisrael beina. Now, excuse me. Now, these halachas which are mentioned, now this is when we have control of the land. We have total control of the land. When we're in Golus, the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings, we're in exile, and we live amongst the Goyim, so naturally we cannot fulfill these mitzvahs. And even when we're in Eretz Yisrael, but if we don't have total control of the land, so we cannot fulfill these mitzvahs. But when we have control of the land, Yodeinu Takifa Alehen, we have the upper hand, then we have to fulfill all these mitzvahs. So he brings, Bizman Sheyad Yisrael Takifa Alehem, Oser Lonu Lohaniach Evdi Kekovim Beneinu. When we are in the position of power, we are not allowed to leave one person in Eretz Yisrael that serves idolatry. Afilu Yeshev Yeshivas Aroy. Even if he's only staying there on an occasional manner. Eiver mi mokum le mokum bischeira. Or even if he comes through the land for business. Lo yavor bi arseinu. He is not allowed to pass through our land. This is how far the Torah went. Not only were obligated to seek out all of the idolatry of Eretz Yisrael and to destroy it, and to drive out all of the seven nations or any of the other idolatrous nations. But even someone who wants to pass through, he wants a travel permit, a visa, he's coming through on business, the Rambam holds that we're not allowed to allow him, even to pass through in an occasional manner. Lo yarva ba'atzeinu, that an idolater should not come through our land. If he wants to accept his seven mitzvahs that he was given to from Hashem Yisborach, that's a different story. See? Then he has a right to come through our land. Then he has a right to live there. But if he refuses and he serves idolatry, then we are not allowed. as it states, Lo yeshiv ba'atzecho, they shall not dwell in your land, afilu lefisho, and even on a temporary basis. So we see that the Torah took extremes in this manner. Another a few other examples states, Elohim acherim leisasu, you shall not make gods for others. So the Gemara says, what does it mean you shall not make? Afil acherim. Not only you're not allowed to serve foreign gods, you're not even allowed to make them for others, even if you're not serving them. States leisovi te'eva el beishecho, that you shall not bring these things into your houses. The Gemara says, even if you don't serve them, not allowed to bring them into your houses. Lo yidbak biyot chumuhuma, these are some psukim from our sedra, that when you destroy the idolatry, you must not take any benefit from it. No benefit, even though it's made of gold, it's made of silver, it's made of precious jewels. Right? Not allowed to have any benefit from it. Al tifnu al elilim, you shall not turn towards their gods. The Gemara darshins afilu listakel ba'esei tzura, even to gaze at their idols, we are prohibited. Afilu listakel, even to gaze at their idols, the Torah forbade us. In our Sedra, it states, in Yud Gimel Lamed, in Yud Beis Lamed, Hisham Melecho Pentinoke Shacharei Macharei Hisham Dom Miponecho. That when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and there will be nations there, and there are nations living in your vicinity, guard yourself very closely, that you shall not become tripped up by them. Why? Pentidra ishleileim leimor echo yavdu hagoyim eile eseleim. You will see your neighbors are worshipping idols and they're worshipping other types of gods. They have other types of religions. So you'll say, let us go and see what they do. We just want to see. Curiosity. Not that we're interested in serving. We want to go see. This the Torah forbids. Shomelecho, guard yourselves closely. You should not say, Echo yavdu agoyim ba'ela, es eleihem. You should not say that, let us go see how they serve their gods. Why? Because, ve'asekein gamoni. Because if you do, then it can influence you where you also will do. The power of the Gemara says that the power and influence of Avodah Zarah is very, very strong. The Rambam brings in this halacha, in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, he brings Sforim Rabim Chovru Evdi Kechovim Bavidosa. The idolaters and other religions, they have written many books. Hiya Hikra Vedoso, to explain their religions and their certain acts. The Almighty has commanded us, Shalelikrais Ba'asan Asforim, cloud, that we are not allowed to read these books. And we're not even allowed to meditate or to think into these subjects. Even to look at their gods, we have been forbidden to. And he quotes our posuk, as it states that you perhaps guard yourselves lest you seek their gods, and you will say, let us go see how they worship. Even though you do not wish to worship like them, but then cause you to follow their ways and their gods. As the Torah says, that you will come to say, Ve'ase kein gamonechi, that I will also do this. Therefore the Torah said, not even to go and see what they do for curiosity's sake, or even to read their books, or to study the subjects pertaining to their religions. So here we have quoted a few examples of how much harchoka, how far the Torah went to keep Klal Yisrael far away from idolatry. That's another principle. A third principle that's important for us to understand is many people think that when we learn these laws of idolatry, this is something of the past, something which related to times of paganism. It's not relative to today. And therefore, they're not so vital or relevant. Not true. Not true at all. Firstly, we have to understand what does it mean serving idolatry. The Rambam brings in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, Ikar Hatzivui Ba'avedas Kohavim. What was the main thing that we were commanded when it came to the serving of these gods? Shleilaved Echon Mikol Abruim, that we shall not serve any creation, not an angel, not a planet, not a star, not any of the elements of nature, for example, the fire or the rains, and not any of the creations. This means any person. And even if the person who is serving these creations, or these elements, or these forces, even if he knows well that the Almighty has created them, and he's not denying the Almighty, he's merely serving these forces, he says, Areis Eved Kechovim, this is still idolatry. And this was the original idolatry. How did the original idolatry evolve? So the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Aveiros Torah, when men were created, they knew who created the world. But eventually, they started to think that since the Almighty created such beautiful creations, and they are His servants, then it's proper that we should give them honor also. So they started to give them honor. Then as times went on, false prophets stood up and they said that these creations came to us and instructed us just how we should serve them. So they started to develop all types of religions and procedures on how to serve the sun and the moon and the stars and the fire and the winds. And then as times went on further and new generations rose up, people forgot that the original intent was to serve these creations in order to give honor to the one who created them. They forgot this, and they didn't know, till eventually came a situation where the name of the Almighty was almost forgotten from the entire world. So we see that the original Aveiros Torah was where they recognized the Almighty, but they served other forces in the world. And this is idolatry. And this is what the Torah commanded on. And it said that lest you will look heavenwards, and you will see the sun, and you will see the moon, and you will come to serve them. So this is the basic idolatry. Now in our times, if we look at the world and analyze it for 1 minute, unfortunately you'll find that the huge majority of the world are included in what we have just quoted. You have the people of India, the people of China, where their ways are idolatrous ways according to the Torah. And the populations are massive. The people of Black Africa, there already you might have 50% of the world's population. You have all the people under Russian rule, Soviet Empire, which is a government geared to atheism, to the denial of the Almighty. Now we have included perhaps over 50% of the world. Perhaps the only ones we would say that are not involved in such ways would be the enlightened Western culture, European nations. But the main religion of the Western culture is Christianity. And Christianity also falls under the concept which the Rambam has just mentioned. Well, are they also serving a power which is not the Almighty? So if one looks around, he finds that almost the only nation that is adhering to this cardinal principle of the Torah is Klal Yisrael. So it's not so that people think that idolatry is a thing of the past. It's not relevant to us. It's as relevant as it ever was. That's not speaking about any new movements towards some of the Eastern religions and Eastern cults. Now this that we say that Israel, Klal Yisrael, seems to be miyuchid, seems to be individual in this. This is not by mikra, this is not something by coincidence. There's a reason for that. Because the Rambam explains in the beginning of Hilchos Aveidah Zarah that from the creation of the world, as the generations went on, people started to forget about the Almighty. And they started to be caught up in the snare of worshipping the sun and the moon and the other powers of the world. And almost the name of the Almighty was forgotten. This was during the 10 generations between the first man and Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the great flood. After the time of Noach, the same thing started again. And again for 10 generations. From Noach until Avraham Avinu, also the name of the Almighty became almost totally forgotten. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready again to take some type of radical action until the time of Avraham Avinu. When Avraham was born, so it's brought that then the Harein Af, the anger of Hashem, ceased. And Avraham was alone. He was totally surrounded by idolaters. His own father was an idolater. And through tremendous searching and tremendous studying on his own and tremendous capabilities, he was a giant. gigantic intellectual capacity and capability. He recognized the creator of the world. He had no Rebbe, no teacher, no one to follow, but he stakel bebiro, v'iker es balabiro. By looking and studying at the creation, he recognized the creator. And when he realized that an entire world was led astray, then he went out into the world to try to teach them the truth. And he went from place to place, teaching and calling out the name of Hashem. And he gathered tens of thousands of followers. This was the Beis Avraham, the house of Avraham. And it was because of this HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let Yadativ ki Yadativ leman asher yitzave es bonav ubeisei achrov. I have brought Avraham close to me because I know that he will command and teach his children and his household after him the ways of Hashem. So it was through the children of Avraham Avinu that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was brought back into the world. And this was through Avraham. So it's not through coincidence that we happen to be the only nation that have recognized this. But this is what we had from Avraham, and this is why Klal Yisrael was chosen. This is the task of Israel. As long as Israel is in the world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is in the world. If heaven forbid they wouldn't be here, then it would be forgotten. So this is the task of a Jew. The task of the Jew is to promote the name of the Almighty and to detract in every possible way from foreign gods. And that's a situation that we have in the world today. Another important principle on this subject that we must realize, that if we live in a world which is full of idolatry, one way or the other, then we must realize that the influence of idolatry is very strong. As it states that the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always prevalent when there is idolatry in the world. We shouldn't think that we're free from this influence. But this is a poison which comes into Klal Yisrael. This is a poison which seeps into our ranks, not only to those who are led astray, but even to those who remain faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many great teachers that have quoted many times, mentioned many times, that in modern generations we are suffering from a Christianization of thought. Many things that we think that are proper and right do not come from the Torah. They come from the influence of various idolatries which in whose environment we live. We've given many shurim in the past of the values of Torah. And we see that even amongst the ranks of those who are faithful to Torah, how foreign many times the values of Torah are. And this is because we suffer. We suffer from the influence of Christianization, from the influence of idolatrous practices that seep into the ranks, even into the Torah ranks, and certainly into the other ranks of the nation of Israel. The Rambam brings, to give somewhat of an example on this, in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, there are many, many prohibitions in the Torah that we shall not turn towards idolatry. And when the Torah tells us this, it doesn't only mean the actual idolatry. Any thought, any idea, any concept, any philosophy, any opinion, any sociological, philosophical, psychological thought or idea which will lead a person away from the concept of the Torah or from concepts of the Torah, we are commanded that we shall not involve ourselves at all in these concepts. And become led away from the concepts of the Torah because of this. Why did the Torah insist on this? Because the knowledge and the intellect of a person is very limited. It's not possible for every person to understand the ultimate truth. And if a person is going to be drawn after every concept, every fad, every thought of the day, this will bring a destruction of the world because of the limited ability of man. Why? Because one day he will think that this type of idolatry is better, and the other day he'll think that the Torah is better. One day he'll think what's above, the other day he'll think what's below, what is inside, what is outside. One day he'll think that this prophecy is good, another day he'll think that another prophecy is good. And this is what the Torah said, Leisosuru achrei levavchem v'achrei inechem, that you shall not be drawn after your hearts or after your eyes to all of these other things. Now from here we see a person is very vulnerable. He's both vulnerable and he's very limited. We see even Aristotle, who was the greatest philosopher of the Greek nation, he could not come to the conclusion that the Almighty created the world and there is one God and this God was in the beginning and no one ever was before him and so forth and so on. He spent a lifetime trying to understand these things. So if a person is going to be drawn after all of the thoughts of the time, so the Rambam says, "Areze machri v'sa'ilam," destruction would come to the world. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us definite guidelines. And he said we shouldn't allow ourselves to be influenced. From here we see that a person can very easily be influenced because of his limitations and because of his vulnerability. And especially if he's living in a place where he's surrounded by idolatrous thoughts. And this is our situation in the world today. We are totally surrounded. So we must realize that we are constantly hammered by the great pressures and influences of foreign thoughts. Doesn't necessarily mean that this will take a form in serving idols. There could be what possibly we would call more sophisticated ways. It could be atheism. It could be philosophy. It could be scientific theories. It could be evolution. It could be new thoughts in sociology, new thoughts in psychology. We've seen in our generation tons of literature written by psychologists and psychiatrists and sociologists totally uprooting the principles of the Torah. And this is Well, it states, Le'sosuru achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem, that you shall not let your hearts or your eyes turn you away. The Rambam says this is what it's referring to. Because one day you'll read such a book and you'll say, there's something there. The next 10 years later, they'll retract it. Like we see in our own day. 5 years later, they'll totally retract it. Meanwhile, though, Hareza Machri was Olam, they've destroyed the world. So we must constantly be cognizant that we are living under such influences. And the only way to counter such influences is through being immersed in Torah. In order to guarantee that we would have these values of Torah. In our time, in the last few years in particular, we are seeing something else also. Up to 25, 30 years ago, most of the problems were created by the atheists or by sociologists or scientists or whatever it might be. Today we're seeing but the types of ancient idolatry. This is a serious problem. Whether people are aware of it or not, it's a very serious problem. It's a serious problem in America. It's a serious problem in Europe. And it's a serious problem right in South Africa with missionaries and Jews for Jesus and Eastern cults and Eastern idolatries and all type of other strange things. The Torah warns us of this. In our parsha, it states, Pasuk Yud Gimel Zayin, if you will be enticed by your brother, by a relative, they'll come to you and they'll say, and this is things that are happening every day today, they'll come to you and they'll say, let us go serve other gods. We've heard about other gods, we've heard how good they are, how successful they are. Let us go serve other gods. Asher leyodato ato ve'avesecho, which you did not know and your fathers did not know. There'll come a time when you will be approached. Melehei o'amim asher svivoseihem akrevim eilecho or harachekim imecho, to serve gods of the nations which are near you or which are far away from you. Mikseh ha'oretz bat kseh ha'oretz, from one end of the world to the other. And today we're seeing it. They're going from one end of the world to the other to look for other gods. Now the Chazal teaches some things here. That it says, asher yadato ato ve'avesecho, that you did not know and your fathers did not know. So Rashi brings, Dover ze genai godelhu, shafu umeisein menechid mashem mosulem aveseham. He says, you should know this is very disgraceful to you. Because even the nations of the world, they do not leave the religions that their fathers taught them. So here now you're saying, azeiv mashem mosru cho aveseham. You should realize that this is a dover genai, that if you are approached, it's a very lowly thing. Because even the nations of the world do not leave the religions that were taught to their fathers. And here now people are telling you, go serve gods that you never knew and your fathers never knew. Then, you will be enticed to go serve gods which are near you or far away. Why does the Torah have to tell us that? Let it just say, you will be enticed to serve gods. So Rashi brings, Torah krevim v'recheikim. Why is this itemized? To tell us a very important thing. Why do people want to go serve gods that are far away? Why did they go all the way to India? All the way to China? What's the matter? There's not enough idolatry near them that they have to go halfway around the world? The answer is because what's far away, people like to believe, is better. Something that's very close, they've seen already that it's nothing. But when someone tells you what exists 5,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away, then you think it's something. So the Torah here is telling us, "Mitivon shel krevim atolom ativon shel rechekim." From the gods which are near you, there you can learn about the gods that are far away from you. Kishem shein mamish bekrevim, kachin mamish berechekim. Go examine the gods that are right near you, and you'll see that there's nothing in them. There's no substance whatsoever. Then from there you can learn what's 5 or 10,000 miles away. Also, it's nothing and no substance. This is what the Torah is telling us. So the Torah naturally says, "Leisevet levelisich ma'elov," not allowed to listen under no circumstances. You should not allow to, you're not allowed to be enticed. The fact is, the one who's enticing you is from the most severe averes in the Torah. This is the Mesis, to entice someone to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to go serve idolatry. Now, what are some of the causes? There are several causes why this is happening. And in our generation, one important cause is because they were never given any substance in Torah. If a person was given substance in Torah, then he would not fall for the false gods of the Far East or the Far West. It's because of tremendous ignorance, and they never saw, and they were never given substance in Torah. This is why they're drawn after the others. It's like the Torah said, "Akrevim varachekim." When they hear about something far away and they're searching because they're empty, they think this is the answer to their problems. They don't realize that the rechekim, those that are far away, are no different than those that are close by. And they've already given up all those things close by because that they realize are worthless. If they were given Torah, if they were given Chokhmas HaTorah, wisdom of Torah, if they were given the opportunity to labor in Torah by day and night, then it would be no enticement whatsoever, either the close ones or the far ones. And this is the great tragedy of our time, because just about all of these people that are caught up in all of these cults and movements is from a total lack of ignorance, from a total ignorance. A second thing that they don't realize, and this also comes from a total ignorance, that this is the lost generation. They don't realize what kind of great abomination there are by the nations with their idolatry. We like to think that it's something of substance, it's something of greatness, it's something of compassion, it's something of ideal, of great ideals. The Torah here in our parsha, in Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph, states, "Hishom lecho, guard yourself, leisase kein l'Hashem elekecho. You shall not be drawn after these other gods. Ki chol te'avas Hashem arishe sonei osu leleheihem. Everything that is hated by the Almighty, this is how they worship their gods. What is ever hated to the Almighty, to Eva is an extreme word of something which is an abomination. What is hated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is how they serve their gods. Don't think that there's something to be attracted there. Because what is hated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is how they serve their gods." What does that mean? A person wants to know, what do you mean? What do you mean it's hated to the Almighty? What's the matter with the way they serve their gods? I saw it. It's wonderful. Is it wonderful? So the Torah testifies, Ki gam es b'neihem ves b'neisehem yisrufu va'esh le'lehem. Don't be deceived. Their own sons and their own daughters, they burn in fires as a sacrifice to their gods. And if you study the religions of the world, unfortunately, you'll find out this is true. It doesn't always seep through in all of the literature. But once in a while, facts are given, even today, of how many females are killed in China or India, female children, or whatever it might be, of the atrocities. The Rambam brings, many times in the Torah it's written, they were mavid b'nei l'melach. We are commanded that we shall not pass our children to melach. This was a famous service, a famous cult of the day. Mavir b'nei l'melach. They would pass their children over the fires to melach. The Rambam brings, what did they do? They would come with their sons and they would give it to the priest. They would light a big bonfire. And then the priest would give it back to the father, and the father would hold the child in the fire, back and forth. This is Mavir b'nei l'melach. And here it's talking where they actually burn sacrifices. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies that all of the abominations which I hate, this is how they serve their gods, there's nothing for you to be attracted there. And the Gemara brings, Rashi brings, Omar Rebbe Kiva. The Gam, what does it mean, Gam also? Also their sons and daughters? Rebbe Kiva said, Abisehem v'imaisehem. Not only their sons and daughters. Their fathers and mothers also. They'll burn to their gods. Omar Rebbe Kiva ani ro'isi. Rebbe Kiva was a traveler. And he said, I saw with my eyes Nochri shekoftu lo'oviv lifnei kalbei v'acholei. I saw with my own eyes a goy tie his father up to be eaten by the dogs as the way they serve their idols. Because of total ignorance in Torah, not only they don't see, they didn't have the opportunity of the positive exposure to Torah, but they never learned what the Torah wrote about the other idolatries. So they're deceived and they're taken for a ride by the priests and by the missionaries and by the emissaries and whatever it might be, that there's something good there. And all of the te'evas, all of the abominations, it's full of shfichas domim, of bloodshed and of immorality and anything you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo sasun kein, don't do it, because it's full of evil. It's the lowest. Why are you attracted to it? There's one more reason why many Jews today and people become attracted to foreign ideas, and that is because they don't understand what the Torah writes about mefsim, wonders. Today you have many of the gimmicks which are enticing Jewish youth and others all the time. Are wonders, wonder cures, other type of wonders which prove the legitimacy of these foreign cults, these alien gods. Here also the Torah speaks of wonders. States in Yud Gimel Beis, Ki Yokum Bikir Becho Novi. A prophet will stand up within your midst. A Jewish prophet. or a dreamer. We've had this experience of a Jewish prophet standing up in our midst. And he will make for you an osar mefis. What is that? So Rashi brings os, that's a sign in the heavens. He will make some type of wonder in the heavens. Mofes, that's a wonder on the earth. He will bring wonders, miracles. He will be a miracle maker. And the people will come and they will see the miracle. And then he'll say, Nechul acharei elim acharim asher lo yedatem v'navdeim. He will say that I've been sent by God. And here are my miracles to prove it. And I have been instructed to tell you that we must go serve this foreign God. Do not listen to this prophet or this dreamer. But he made miracles. Ki menaseh Hashem elokeichem eschem. I am testing you to ladas hayishkem avim es Hashem elokeichem chol avav chol nafshichem. I am testing you. So Rashi says, Af al pi kein le tishma le. Even though they are miracles, don't listen to them. Bim teimar. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him the power to make a wonder? Because I am testing you. This means he will make wonders. He will make actual miracles. So therefore what? We should bow down on the ground to him because he can make a miracle. The Torah doesn't become taken aback for miracles or wonders. So he'll make a miracle. He'll make a wonder. Therefore what? Therefore it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the God. Therefore it means this that's made out of stone or this deceiver is a God. It says do not listen to him. Not only you shouldn't listen to him, you should put him to death. He's liable of the death penalty. But he made miracles. So he made miracles. Our Torah is not built on miracles. Most likely the miracles are phony. This is the Rambam's opinion. But even if they're true, if they're real miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I gave him the power to make miracles. But you are not allowed to follow him. Because our Torah is not built on miracles. Now this is a very important concept because today we have people. In the old days it wasn't so much. Although all the time there was this problem. But today we have people that if they read about someone making a wonder, they read about someone making a wonder, or someone making a miracle, they're ready to become totally subjected to it. We are not of people that get carried away by miracles or by wonders. Where does this state? This is a long essay in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perches of Hilchis Yisori HaTorah. A very important principle. He says, Meisha Rabbeinu le'eminu b'nei Yisrael mimnei ha'eisi sh'osu. Do not think that we believe in Meisha Rabbeinu because he made miracles or because he made wonders. Because an emuna, a faith that comes because of wonders or miracles, that's not a true faith. Because a person will always have doubts. Maybe this sign or wonder was made through witchcraft, or it's just false. All of the signs and the miracles that are in the Torah that Moshe made, that was only because it was necessary to do it. For example, he said we had to destroy Egypt. All right, so he destroyed Egypt through the plagues. Klal Yisrael had to cross the sea, so he had to split the sea. The sea came back on Egypt because they had to be destroyed. Klal Yisrael had to eat in the desert, so he had to produce water. He had to produce man. But these miracles were not made to build our emuna. Our faith is because what we saw at Sinai. And when we saw at Sinai and what we heard at Sinai, that was not because of signs. That's what we actually saw and we actually heard. And this was imbued in every soul, and this is what we received from our fathers and grandfathers through tradition. This is what our belief is based on. Our belief is not based on miracles or signs, because an emuna which is based on miracle and signs is not an emuna. Because it's always possible to do this through trickery or through some type of witchcraft. See, this is the Rambam writes. And he says, this is why Moshe said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe and said, go to Klal Yisrael. This was before the giving of the Torah. Go to Klal Yisrael and tell them that I was sent to take you out of Egypt. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, do some signs for them. Because this was before the giving of the Torah. And we didn't have yet this tradition. So Moshe said, Heim lo yaminu bi, they won't believe me. Moshe was afraid that even after the signs they won't believe, because what? So I'll do signs. So what will that be? So this is the principle that Rambam writes. Therefore, he says, if a prophet stands up, the author eisesu meisim gedalim, and he does great wonders. A prophet comes and he does great wonders. He says, even a prophet, someone who's known to be a prophet, someone who's known to us to be a righteous prophet, and he will do great miracles. Ubikesh lahachish teirosi shel Moshe Rabbeinu, and he wants to contradict the Torah of Moshe, ain't shamingly not allowed to listen to him. Because we don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of miracles, and therefore if you do bigger miracles, so now you're right. We believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of Har Sinai. And Torah was given la'olam, and never can it be changed. So someone can come and he can move the whole world. That has no impression on the Jew. Because Torah was given to Moshe and Har Sinai, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you should not add to it, you shall not take away from it, it will stand forever. So we're not a people who become therefore impressed by miracles. Unfortunately, in this generation, many don't understand that. So someone comes with a few good wonder cures, and already they have a candidate. It's a very important concept. In general, we should be cognizant. That the Rambam writes, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that even when the Melech HaMashiach comes, one day the Melech HaMashiach will come. He'll show up. And he'll come with a prophecy, and the prophecy will not contradict the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, because if in any way it will contradict the Torah, so then that's not the Melech HaMashiach, that's a Novi Sheker, that's a false prophet that we're speaking about in our parsha, and we have to put him to death. But he will come to strengthen the Torah of Moshe. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim and Perek Yud Aleph, if a king will come, a person who's from the house of David, who is very, very learned in Torah, he fulfills mitzvahs ki David oviv, like David his father, in accordance to Torah shebiksav v'Torah shebalpeh. He comes to strengthen the Torah, not to detract from it. V'yokuv kol Yisrael lelech balachazik, and he will influence, call Israel to follow the Torah, and he will fight their wars from them. So this is, then, as far as we're concerned, this is the Melech HaMashiach. And he says, do not think, al yale al daitcho, don't think that the Melech HaMashiach is going to have to come and make wonders and miracles. And Harish Dvori make two things in the world. He says, ein adover kach, not true. We're not impressed by miracles or wonders. He says, what's the proof? Raman brings a very good proof. There was a time, the time of Bar Kokhba, during the second Beis Hamikdash, during the time of the Roman occupation of Eretz Yisrael, when they were destroying the Beis Hamikdash. And Bar Kokhba became a king and a warrior, and at that time he was a righteous person. And people thought he was the Melech HaMashiach, and included in those people was Rabbi Kiva. Sharei Rabbi Kiva chochem godel michach me mishnah hoya. Rabbi Kiva was from the greatest wise sages we had of the Mishnah. And he followed Bar Kokhba. Later on he was known as Bar Koziva, because he came out he was false. And he said on him that he's the Melech HaMashiach. And all of the wise of your generation thought he was the Melech HaMashiach. Until eventually he was killed. And when he was killed because of his averas, then they realized that he wasn't the Melech HaMashiach. And in all of the historical accounts, does not mention any place where they demanded signs or miracles from him, which he executed. So he says, don't think that we're going, the one who's going to come to be the Melech HaMashiach, he will execute wonders. He says, we're not a people that are moved by wonders or by miracles. And all of the miracles that Moshe did, that was necessary, he said, to destroy Egypt. The in Perek der Blezer, Pirkei der Blezer, the Medrash, the Gemara brings that when Moshe came to Klal Yisrael and he made signs and wonders for them, so the elders went to Sorach, Bas Osher. They went to Sorach, the daughter of Osher, because she was the oldest person living there. And they told her, a man came and he's made miracles. And he said that I have come in the name of Hashem to redeem you. So she said, Ein bekach klum. Because he made miracles, that means nothing. Don't believe him. Then when they said that he said, Poko jifkaid, Hashem shall surely redeem you. And he used a certain terminology, Poko jifkaid. He will redeem you with this term. Then she said, believe him. Because I heard from my father, or heard from his father, from Yaakov Avinu, that the one who will come to redeem will use this terminology. So we see from there that the wonders and the miracles that didn't move them. There are many such people that can do that. It was only when he had the tradition. In general, the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph, of Aveda Zora. He holds in general, the Rambam, where he writes, he says that when it comes to kishuv, sorcery, witchcraft, all of these things, he says you should realize that they're all a bunch of deceit and lies, and they're taking the people for a ride. Ve'ein roi li'Yisrael she'im chachomim mechuchomim lahamshik bahavelim elu. And Yisrael, which are the wise of the world, he says it's not proper that they should be deceived, because this is something that Goyim believed in, but the children of Yaakov Avinu never believed in them. His principle is that most of these things are not true at all, and it's deceit. Others hold not like that, and the Gaon brings it in Yoredeya. The Gaon brings from other shitas that not so. There are powers of sorcery in the world. There are powers people have to make miracles in the world, not only through deceit. And he says one proof is that we see that when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe came to Paray and he threw down his stick and turned it into a serpent, so Paray had his own people duplicate that. So we see there were powers of sorcery. So the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, brings from others that there are such powers. But even so, the Torah commanded that we should not become too impressed with it. So there are powers in the world. Therefore what? It's a very important principle. And unfortunately, much of our generation, many of us, they don't understand this. They weren't subjected to Torah. And therefore, whenever they hear about a wonder or someone that can make a miracle, they're already a setup for all of these different types of religions and cults. These are some of the principles that have to do with the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. And a person should know that it states in the Torah, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. You shall not make other gods for yourself. As far away a person can bring himself from other gods, that's how close he'll be to Hashem. As much influence he has from other gods, then this is how far he'll be from Hashem. And that's why this mitzvah is so important. In our Sedra, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bachach, what this is in Pasuk Yud Gimel Chof Ches. No, excuse me. It's in Pasuk Yud Beis Yud Dalet. Bachach for Techo, that you will build the Beis Hamikdash in the territory of one of the tribes. So Rashi brings Zu Binyamin. This is the tribe of Binyamin. The Beis HaMikdosh was built in the section that belonged to Binyamin. Why Binyamin? Because the Beis HaMikdosh represented the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That represented the Yichud, the closeness of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Binyamin was the furthest from idolatry. Where do we see that? Because when Yaakov was coming back from the house of Lavan and he met Esav, so there he, together with all of his wives and children, bowed to Esav. And Esav was the epitome of kfira, of denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only one that didn't bow to Esav was Binyamin, because Binyamin wasn't born yet. He was born in when Yaakov came back to Eretz Yisrael. Binyamin was the only one born in Eretz Yisrael. So when it came to take the place of the Beis HaMikdash, whose territory should it be built in? HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Binyamin. Because the others had a little link to this idolatry. And therefore it couldn't be the place of the closeness of Klal Yisrael at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only to Binyamin. And that's why when Binyamin marched, his tribe were on the west. Because the west represented the opposite of idolatry. Why? Because the nations of the world, idolatry always drew them to worship the powers of the world, the physical powers of the world. The greatest physical power is in the east, because the greatest physical power of the world is the sun. And the sun's strength is in the east, because that's where it rises. And that's why the nations of the world always worshiped east. We were commanded to put our Beis HaMikdosh where it faces west. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is in the west. Because the west represents the sun bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the sun sets, the Gemara says, why does the sun set? Ki avdei kamimari. Just like a servant bows to his master, the sun when it sets in the west is bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When someone sees the sun rise in the east, you could think that he's the greatest power in the world. But when you see he sets in the west, you see there must be another master. That's why the nations of the world, they worshipped east. Klal Yisrael worshipped west. And that's why in the Beis HaMikdash, during Sukkot, when they had the Simchas Beis HaSheva, they would turn westward and they would say, our fathers worshipped east, we worshipped west. And that's why Binyamin's chelek, Binyamin's, when he marched, he was on the west side. Because he represented this power that was far from idolatry. Therefore a Jew must realize, idolatry is something which is prevalent in the world. Don't think it's something of the past. And as long as there's idolatry in the world, then Harein Af Be'elam, the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world. And this means the influence of idolatry is in the world. And therefore a Jew was given many, many mitzvahs to keep far away from idolatry. And the further he's away from Aveir Zora, then the closer he is to Anechi Hashem Elokecha. We should be zeicher to be mekayim these mitzvahs, to fulfill these mitzvahs until we see that the oneness and the malchus of Hashem spreads through the entire world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.